The Bible reading today is John's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 30 down to verse 59. And we enter into the passage at verse 30. A discussion has begun about Jesus and the people quizzing him. So, John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 30. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you've seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling amongst yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Amen. We thank God for that word. And for the disciples, the crowd, for the disciples who heard that word, they declared it a difficult word. Who could possibly accept it? And it may be that for us this is a difficult word also. These last few weeks we've been exploring John's Gospel under the heading, or with the title, Signs and Wonders. And throughout John's Gospel there are two key questions that are being pursued. The answers are being unpacked for us. First question is, who is the Messiah, the Christ, the King? Who is this person? But also, what is his kingdom like? What is the kingdom of the King like? What's its character? What's its nature? What's its values? And John, in his gospel, as we've touched on every week, has chosen to answer this question in part by speaking about signs. And in the other Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the signs are referred to as miracles or wondrous events. But in John, he says, no, they're signs. The event, the healing, the miracle, the astounding thing is wonderful in and of itself. And that's true. But John wants to say to us, look, you need to look almost beyond the events. It's a sign to something else. The event in itself is not really the important thing. It's pointing to the Messiah, to the Christ, the King. And it's all these signs are also speaking to us about what the kingdom is like. And thus far, we've looked at five signs. We've reflected on Jesus changing water into wine, healing the royal official's son, healing the paralyzed man at the pool, feeding the 5,000 people, and then last week, walking on the water. And today, we're not finished with looking at the signs, but I'm going through John's Gospel in the order in which it's laid out for us. And I want to go through all the signs, but there are also seven signs that we normally note in the gospel, but there are also seven sayings, seven key sayings. And the first of these sayings is the one that we've touched on today, which is, I am the bread of life. And as I say, there are seven of these I am sayings in John's Gospel. Some suggest there are more than seven, and we can argue about that, but and that's fine, but there are these definite seven that I'm going to be touching on in these next few weeks, and then coming back as we reach them to some of the signs. Now, I mentioned last week that the name, the words, I am, denotes divinity. These words are spoken by God as his name. And we might scratch our heads a little bit and think, what kind of name is I am? And yet we're reminded that Moses, when Moses encounters God in the burning bush in the wilderness, when Moses, in a sense, has run away from God, he's retreated from his responsibility and the place where God had positioned him, God encounters Moses and stops him in his tracks in the burning bush. And God speaks to Moses and says, Moses, I want you to go from this place, and you are to go to Egypt, where my people are enslaved. You're to speak to the leaders of my people, and then you're to go to Pharaoh, and you're to command Pharaoh from the living God, let my people go. And all this, of course, is a bit much for Moses. And he stumbles and he stutters and he's not really sure about it. And there's a sense of Moses, I guess, even wanting to get out of it, which is not really surprising, the responsibility that had been laid upon him. And so Moses says to God, speaks into the burning bush and says, what's your name? You must have a name so that when I go to the leaders of the people, I can say to them, well, this is the name of the God who spoke to me. And the response that God gives to Moses is simply this, I am who I am. I am who I am. Tell the people, I am, sent you to them. And that's an astonishing command, I am. So as Jesus speaks these sayings, I am the bread of life, he's saying something about his own character and his own being, that he is associated intimately with the I am who met Moses in the burning bush. And we also noted last week these verses from Isaiah, where God speaks and says, I am he who comforts you. God is the one who comforts. He speaks again, I am he who blots out your transgressions. I will not remember your sins. And there are numerous of these statements, these I am statements in the Old Testament where God speaks and uses I am. And of course, as we noted last week, Isaiah 45, God says, I am the Lord and there is no other. I am he, the living God. And so Jesus, as he uses this statement, I am, and today I am the bread of life, he is speaking about himself as divine. And that's an extraordinary, astonishing claim, and it leads us to worship him. And yet in our reading, you may have noticed, Jesus doesn't say, I am the bread of life just once, did he? But he says it actually three times in our passage. We have it there in verse 35. I am the bread of life. This is where the people say, well, give us this bread that comes from heaven. Give it to us. It sounds great. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But then Jesus repeats the words, the same words. I am the bread of life, there in verse 48. And this is where Jesus is contrasting himself from the manna, that this strange bread-like substance that their ancestors had given after they'd been set free from slavery, after Moses had done what he was called to do, God set them free from slavery in Egypt, and they're making their way to what they knew only as the promised land. God feeds them every day with this strange bread-like substance called manna. And Jesus said, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. I am the bread of life. And then he says it again, but this time says, I am the living bread. Sometimes you wonder, is Jesus trying to make a point? Is he aware that those he's speaking to are not getting it? And it is a difficult word. What does it mean that Jesus is the bread of life? Jesus goes on to say to them, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and unless you drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. And this is a curious challenge. It's a curious statement that Jesus makes, saying, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven, and you must eat of me, and you must drink of my blood. Now today, I'm going to set four headings, as it were. And the first is this, that the bread of life looks like Jesus. What is this bread of life? Well, it looks like Jesus. Now, Jesus, in making this statement, I am the bread of life. Yes, we can, in a sense, just turn and say, it's about divinity. It's about Jesus being divine. He is God. But he's also making a very personal statement as well, because he's saying, it's me. It's me. I am. It's me that is the bread of life. And there is this awareness. What is the bread of life? Well, it looks like Jesus. When Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. But whoever eats my flesh has eternal life. He's saying, It's me. It's me that you must eat and digest and take into yourself. And it's a very simple and obvious observation, but it's centered upon Jesus. I've said on probably numerous occasions that since I first gave my life to the Lord Jesus when I was 12, I'm just thinking how many years ago that was, well over 40 years ago, I've changed my mind on loads and loads of stuff about the Bible, about my Christian faith, what it means and how it works out for me. At times I feel that I've been close to God, and at times I feel I've been distant from God. At sometimes I have quite deliberately made my way deeper into the things of God, and at other times, for all sorts of reasons and in varying circumstances, I feel like I have deliberately taken steps away from God. Sometimes because I cannot or could not face the challenge of what I was beginning to understand it meant to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. And yet my testimony today is, having given my life to Jesus many times in the last 40 or so years, my testimony is today is that I understand that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so many of the decisions I now make in my life, and whether they are personal or whether they're about politics, it's about my understanding of Jesus. The reason 3 or 4 years ago I decided to go vegan is directly related to my relationship with Jesus and what I understood about Jesus. And there are many other examples I could give, but I've done this because I've reflected upon what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what it means to eat of the bread of life that is Jesus. I've spoken in the past about biblical meditation, where we can take a verse from the Bible, or perhaps even just a phrase from the Bible, and to meditate upon it. We chew on it. We perhaps say the words over and over in our minds, first of all out loud and then just quietly in our minds. And then we just reflect and reflect, and we allow the words of the Bible just to sit within our minds and let them descend into our spirits, and we just begin to chew on the Word of God. And we chew on it, and we're wanting always to get the goodness out of the Word of God. And it takes time in stillness to chew on, to meditate on the Word of God. And in this way, we are feeding on the living Word. We are feeding on Jesus. So I am the bread of life. I want to say it looks like Jesus. The focus again and again and again in this passage. Jesus, although the crowd misunderstand him at every turn, he turns them back to himself. The bread of life looks like Jesus. Number two is it tastes like heaven. The bread of life tastes like heaven. Jesus is the bread of life that comes down from heaven. In verse 50, here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So as we feed on Jesus, as we read of Jesus, as we reflect on the teaching of Jesus and the example of Jesus, and we seek to take steps in the direction of Jesus in our own lives so that our lives, our lifestyles reflect more and more and more that of the Lord Jesus. As we do that, we are experiencing the food of heaven. The bread of life tastes like heaven. What does it taste like? What does it feel like? We are touching upon heaven as we receive the word of Jesus, as we receive the life of Jesus, as we receive it for ourselves and begin to live our lives in accordance with Jesus, the teaching and the example of Jesus. We are tasting heaven. And it seems to me that that is a glorious thing that we should all aim to do. And that we find from time to time, we find that is quite a challenging thing as well, because the way we are used to living and the values we are used to holding on to are very different from the values of Jesus. And of course, they're very different from the values of heaven. And so there is challenge for us to change our lifestyle, to change our perspectives and our worldviews, because we're feeding on the bread of life that comes from heaven. Number three, satisfies hunger and thirst. Satisfies hunger and thirst. I am the living bread, Jesus says. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And of course, the crowd, they turn to Jesus and they say, give us this bread, because they don't want to be hungry, and that's what they're experiencing right there. Whoever comes to Jesus and eats of him and drinks of him, their hunger is satisfied. And I've often reflected on this and puzzled on it. I wonder, what is the best food you've ever tasted? That's right, you don't have to call it out or anything. Just think about what is the best food you've ever tasted? Because that's what Jesus is talking about here, about satisfying hunger and thirst. Is this is the best food and the best drink you will ever eat or taste. Now, when we reflected on the miracle, the sign of changing water into wine, we noted that what stands out is not really the quantity of water that is changed into wine, but it's the quality of the wine. It is the best wine. Now, some of you may have had the experience that I have had in the past, where I've gone to a certain fast food restaurant. They call it a restaurant. I don't know whether we should give it that name. But I've been to a certain fast food restaurant, and I've ordered my burger and my fries and my nuggets or whatever else I've had. And I've eaten them, and I've licked my lips and thought, that was great. 30 minutes later, I think, crikey, I'm still hungry. You ever had that experience? It looks great. It tastes fantastic. 30 minutes later, I'm going, I could just do with a sandwich, you know. I could do with more. And that's sometimes our experience, is that we eat food, and yet it doesn't really satisfy. It doesn't satisfy our hunger, and we need more. When we come to Jesus, and this is the point that I think Jesus is making, when we find Jesus and we feed on Jesus, when we receive his teaching for ourselves and we align our lives and our lifestyle to the life and lifestyle of Jesus, we come to a point where we say, the quality of this life is so great, I don't have to go searching around for other lifestyles to adopt. I don't have to look anywhere else for other lifestyle food to eat, because right here in Jesus, I've got everything I need. Now, this doesn't mean that I eat and drink once of Jesus and that's it. What it means is I've found the source. I've found the best quality food for my life, and I've found the best quality wine to drink. And now I'm here. Why should I go anywhere else? I'm going to keep feasting on Jesus. I'm going to keep drinking on Jesus. When the crowd say to Jesus that this is a difficult saying, and some of them begin to say, we cannot accept whatever it is Jesus means, that we should eat his flesh and drink his blood, they begin to turn away from Jesus. Now remember, we start with 5,000 men, and there's women and children on top of that. So a huge crowd of people have been there with Jesus, following Jesus. And one by one, 10 by 10, 100 by 100, they drift away from Jesus, say, we don't get this, we're leaving. And then eventually Jesus is left just himself and his 12 disciples. And he turns to his disciples and says, what about you? Are you going to leave as well? And they respond with those profound words, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you're the Holy One of God. Lord, to whom shall we go? Your food is the best. Your drink is the highest quality. We don't understand it, but we know we're in the right place. So we're going to stay with you, whatever it costs us. So this is what it means, that it satisfies our hunger and it satisfies our thirst, because we come to Jesus and discover we don't need to go anywhere else now. And it is challenging, but it is true. And then lastly, just briefly, it transforms for eternity. It transforms for eternity. It keeps transforming us. Eternally, it is transforming us. It's an ongoing process of transformation as we feed on Jesus and drink of Jesus. It transforms us. I've discovered recently, I'm not an expert in social media. Anybody an expert in social media? But you know what I'm talking about. You know, social media, Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, don't know what else, TikTok. That's another one, isn't it? You know? But I've discovered recently that on all these platforms, these social media platforms, there are people called influencers. Have you heard about influencers? And I discovered as well that some of these so-called influencers are paid huge amounts of money to promote certain brands of products. And so the reality is that when you go on these social media sites and you go on the pages or whatever it is of these influencers, and they're talking about the latest makeup, whatever excites you, you know, the latest makeup or the latest soap, or the latest pair of shoes or whatever it is, you're never quite sure, do they actually believe in this, or are they just saying it? Are they just saying it because they're getting paid to say it? And these people have millions and millions and millions of subscribers, people who go on their site regularly. And there are influencers out there being paid to influence us, to make a difference to us. And what Jesus is doing is saying, let me be the one who influences you. Feed on me, drink of me, and let me be the influence upon you. But we do have to make a choice. It may be that we recognize the influence, the powerful influence that is upon us, that causes us to think in certain ways, or to dress in a particular way, or to eat in a particular way. They're more important to us than reflecting on what Jesus wants to say to us. Yeah? And so we have to make a choice. And I was reflecting on this, and I was reflecting that, now I don't know about you, but if one person has read the Daily Telegraph every day, yeah? Now, I don't know if anybody does, and it's okay if you do, fine. But we know that there is a particular worldview, a particular perspective that is being propagated through the Daily Telegraph. Now, there's one person who reads the Daily Telegraph every day, and there's another person who reads The Guardian every day. Now, a very different perspective is being put forward. And these two things influence us, and we may not want to acknowledge it, but if you read the Telegraph every day, there's a powerful influence upon you. If you read the Guardian every day, there's a powerful influence upon you. There are those who are addicted to Fox News and watch Fox News propaganda channel, in my view, every day. And if you watch and imbibe, if you feed of Fox News every day, your worldview will be very different from somebody, you know, I don't know, what's the opposite to Fox News? Is it the BBC or Al Jazeera or something, you know? But what I'm really saying is, what do we feed on in life? We may not think about what we feed on, but the newspaper we read, the things we watch on TV, the company that we keep, the news that we plug into, these are feeding us. This is our diet. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And as we feed on him, suddenly some of those other influences don't taste so good, because we've come to the source of life itself. And Jesus will transform us for eternity. And so we have this extraordinary saying, I am the bread of life. May we know God's blessing and God's encouragement as we feed on Jesus. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, the bread of life. Father, again, we just turn our attention to Jesus and say we would have Jesus as our bread and our wine. We would have Jesus as our influencer. We would have Jesus as the center of our lives, the one who feeds us, the one who influences us, the one who guides us and directs us. May we be able to say that we have eaten of Jesus and we are satisfied. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. We praise you. Amen.